The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so we said we're going to do the Rambam on the purpose of human existence. I don't know if that's what you want to call it. Well, I don't remember the exact way you formulated the question. I think I wanted to do this 2 years ago, but I don't think I did the whole thing.
Maybe not the whole thing.
Yeah. Could be.
Do you have a short article on this?
Okay, so I was I was wondering if someone was going to ask that. I have an article on the purpose of human existence from the Mor Nevuchim standpoint.
Yeah.
And this is a different type of approach, okay. Even though they're both wrong. Yeah. I do have an article on that, though.
That's the one where the answer is that there is none.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this is different. That's why I'm not sure if I want to call it this, but we'll see what he says. Okay. So the context is... The context is super interesting, but I don't know if we're going to have time for the context. The context is in the period, this is the Hakdama to the Perashat Mishnayos, and he's talking about the different types of statements you'll find in the Gemara. And the fourth type of statement is Drushos Hamat Imos Linian Kol Perak, She's Damin Shiroi Bohadrash. Now, that's a strange statement in itself. The Drushos that are in line with the theme of each Perak that it appears in, which, first of all, it doesn't make any sense. Like, if you look at the Midrashim in Shas, I don't think they are in line with the themes of the Perak. Like, so I just don't know how he can say that, but whatever. So then he goes through, and this is the first time the Rambam writes about Midrashic methodology. So that's very, very good to go through. But then he gets to the example. Okay. And so he says, this is on page 21, Chaf Aleph, and on the right column, and he says,
in the middle of that,
huh? Yeah. Actually, maybe we do have to start earlier.
I'm done.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start. All right. Do we have to start? All right. Let's start at the very. Let's start at the. All right. Fine. Yes. That's what they say. All right. Fine. We'll start at the beginning. All right. So maybe it's on page Yud Tes. So, all right. So I just read that sentence. Okay. Ba'inyan haravi'i hazeh, this fourth matter, klomar hadrush shuhuva batamud, the drush that is in the Talmud, ain lachshov shu kal chashivus. Don't think that it is like insignificant or of little worth. How many of you? Anyone going to Pesach Thursday night here this year? Okay, what was that? No, okay, fine. Because right, I think he went through the real place where the Rambam talks about this is in the Hakdamah to Chelek, but this is the first place in that where he talks about it. Osha to Alta Ma'ata. Don't think that its use is minimal. Kihu l'tachlis gadol mod. It has a very important purpose. Because it includes deep allusions and wondrous ideas. If you look really into depth into these drushos, you're going to understand the greatest good, that there's no good higher than that. If you want a copy, you can have this copy. I think in that one's the same. It's on page 19.
Okay.
Yeah. There will be revealed to you metaphysical matters. You're going to get like all these like metaphysical ideas, things that the men of science concealed that all the philosophers know. Okay, so like all these like treasures. But when you look at them on their simple level, their external level, you'll find them to be the most irrational possible. Okay. So they did this for many reasons. The question here he's answering, which he doesn't really answer in Chelek directly, because I think he answers it here. Why did Chazal conceal the ideas, you know, in these like riddle forms? So he says, so there's several reasons. Echad, l'orer havanas halomnim, is to awaken the understanding or the analysis of the learners. Vagam lash, okay, so that's an interesting one, right? Is that the Rashba has this category of midrashim, he says, where some midrashim are obscure, like they seem crazy because they're concealing deep ideas, okay? Other midrashim seem simple, but they're concealing deep ideas. And other midrashim seem like crazy, but they're concealing simple ideas. And so that's the one that you need to explain. Well, why is it like that? And he says, because you're training people and like your students in analytical ability, like to like try to like decode stuff, you know? So here he's saying is to awaken the understanding of the learners. To begam lashua ine haksilim. I think it means to like plaster over the eyes of the fools, asher lo uru libosihim laolam, whose hearts were not lit up forever. Okay, meaning have never been lit up. Like, basically people who are not going to see the truth. So we have to like blind them and conceal this from them. If you were to present the truth in front of them, they would deviate from it based on their deficient natures, right? You know, the thing with the example with the angel, this is the best example. Let's see, Malachim. Do I have a Malachim PowerPoint? Yes, I do. This is in the Mor Nevuchim. And he says, hey, here we go. Yeah. How? This is in Mor Nevuchim 2:6.
I saw 2:6 and I was like, wait, I know
that. How bad and injurious is the blindness of ignorance. Say to a person who is believed to belong to the wise men of Israel that the Almighty sends his angels to enter the womb of a woman and to form there the fetus. He would be satisfied with the account. He will believe in it and will even find in it a description of the greatness of God's might and wisdom, although he believes that the angel consists of burning fire and is as big as the third part of the universe. Yet he considers it possible as a divine miracle. But tell him that God gave the sperm a formative power, which produces and shapes the limbs. And my footnote is, we know that there's DNA now. Okay, didn't know what that was back then. And this power is called angel, and he will turn away, for he cannot comprehend the true greatness and power of creative forces that act in a body without being perceived by our senses. Our sages have already stated, for him who has understanding, that all forces that reside in a body are angels, much more the forces that are active in the universe. So that's to me, like the quintessential example. Like this guy, if you told him the truth, he can't handle the truth, you know, like, and he will turn it away and you'll cause him to reject the actual truth. But you tell him this like thing, like, oh, it's an angel, you know, and and it makes sense. And he won't question it, and he'll accept it. And then maybe one day, like he'll understand it, or maybe one day, like he'll pass it on and maybe his kid will understand it, but like, he's not going to detach himself from it, you know?
At least he'll understand that it's an angel.
Yes. He'll understand that it's an angel. And that's also a step up from like thinking that it's a deity, or thinking that it's a spiritual power, or thinking that it's like whatever it is, you know, because at least an angel is like an agent of God, you know? Yeah. Okay, fine. So that's blinding the eyes of the fools. So things like that, we say, don't reveal a sod to the fools. Their intellect is not developed enough to receive the truth clearly. This is an interesting thing. The Chachamim would conceal secrets of Torah from each other. Okay, he gives us an interesting example. So here's the scenario. Okay, let's say like I happen to be with a bunch of people. Let's say like you guys are all like fluent in Maaseh Bereishis, okay, which is one of the areas that we have to conceal. But who Haya Yodei Maaseh Merkavah? Let's just say I'm the one who knows Maaseh Merkavah, right? Okay, Amar Lahem. So I say to you guys, Limduni Maaseh Bereishis, V'al Lamedchem Maaseh Merkavah. You guys teach me Maaseh Bereishis, I'll teach you Maaseh Merkavah. Na'anulo, they answered him. Okay, meaning they taught it him. La'achar shalom duhu Maaseh Bereishis, nimna milalamda Maaseh Merkavah. And then I said, oh, sorry guys, I gotta go. Which is funny because I thought you have to know Maaseh Bereishis before Maaseh Merkavah. Apparently not. Yeah. Unless it's like some specific idea in Maaseh Bereishis. I don't know, but that's above my pay grade anyway. All right. Velo asa ze chalila mitok. What is it? Those who know, don't say. Yeah. Right. Velo asu zos chalila mitok tsarus ayin. Or sure, suddenly he's got a lamb. Okay, so he did not, God forbid, that he would do this out of stinginess or because he wants to like lord it over them. Like, oh, you know, I'm going to keep my knowledge. Keep your secrets. Ki amidos ha'ela megunos afilu le'echad hashfalim sheba'am. These midos are like, you know, despicable even in the lowest of the nation. Koshkein la'nashim gedolim, even more so to great people. Ela asa zos mipnei shira atmo roi lilmod masha biadam lematz'am ru'uyim lilmod masha biado. So he did this because he found that he was roy to learn what they knew, but they weren't roy to know what he knew. And it's possible that he only found that out from talking to them, right, you know? Right. Otherwise, yeah, I don't think he would have made the deal. Like, that would seem to be like Gnevus Das, you know?
Yeah.
All right. V'lamad al inyan ze mimam or shlomo dvash v'chalav tachas l'shoneich. We talked to Rabbi Trachman about that. It's from Shir Shirim, that's why. That like honey and milk under your tongue. And pirshuhu alehim ha-shalom v'amrush inyan dvarim elu shehamusagim ha-arevim shanefesh mis'aneges bahem ke'oneg chush ha-tam b'dvash v'chalav roish lo yomru So they explained that the ideas, the concepts that are sweet to the soul, that give them the soul enjoyment, just like the enjoyment of the taste of honey and milk, it's proper to not express them verbally, but to keep them under your tongue. Meaning that you, these deep ideas, you should not, like, you know, they might be enjoyable, but you shouldn't just like disperse them like candy. These are not possible to teach. It's not possible to teach these things. They may not be expounded in public. You can allude to them in Sfarim with hidden allusions, concealed allusions. I gotta interject here. I might have said this earlier in the year, but so there are two approaches taken to, there are four approaches that are taken. Three or four. Okay, I'm gonna say there are three approaches that people take to secrets of Torah. Yeah. So you have people who hold there are no secrets. Okay. Rishon Chachamim, right? So I might say there are no secrets. That there were I forgot their names because we don't really know them so well. There were people in contemporaries of the Ramban who just wrote all their Kabbalistic secrets, okay? And similarly, Lahavdil, and they would also want to separate themselves from him, the Rabbag does not seem to hold that there's any such thing as secrets. In all of his stuff, no matter how metaphysically deep it is, he never says, like, I can't talk about this, you know? So those are the people who are open with everything, okay? Then there are people, and this is like, to me, is like a very admirable. Apparently, Rabbeinu Yonah and Ravid, one of the Ravids, not the one who was arguing with Rambam, they were apparently like masters of the Kabbalistic esoteric tradition, but they held, you can't even like write about the existence of like you having this knowledge. So you look at Rabbeinu Yonah, he's not even alluding to Kabbalistic things at all. You know, he just, and he had Talmidim like learn from him, but like he held that you can't even like write this. And then in the middle, and this is why I'm debating, is you have the Rambam and the Ramban. So they both hold that you can write down allusions, but they have different policies. So the policy of the Ramban is, I'm writing down these allusions in my commentary, and I'm warning you at the pain of spiritual death at the very beginning of the Hagdama that you're not going to understand them, so don't try to interpret them unless you are a Mukubal who has received the Kabbalah from another Mukubal, and then these writings will like light up to you, okay? Then you have the Rambam, who says in the intro to the third part of the Morning Nevuchim, you'll ask me, how could I write down my pshat of the Ma'is Merkava? He says, because I'm writing it down, not my pshat, my understanding of the Ma'is Merkava, I'm writing it down in a way where if you know what I'm talking about, then you'll understand. And if you don't know, then it'll look like I'm switching terms that you don't understand for other terms you don't understand, and you won't be harmed, you know? Yeah. So that seems to me like a different method. I mean, they're in the same group because they're both... they're both like writing, attempting to write it, to put down a written form that can be decoded by someone who knows it, but they're using different methods. Correct. Right. Oh, no, no, sorry, let me back up. They definitely have different views of the subject matter. Rambam holds you don't need to have received it. But I'm saying, I'm talking about in terms of writing. You know, is it the same thing or not? Yeah.
I thought the Rambam held that all those like secrets died out somewhere.
Yes, but unlike the Ramban, then Rambam held that they could be rediscovered, and he held that he rediscovered them. And he says he's not confident in it. He says, this is just my knowledge, and I don't have any Masorah or any Nevuah, you know, on this. Yeah, that's another machlokas. But you are right. He holds that the actual ones were lost. The actual Ma'is Merkava Masorah was broken. According to the Rambam, yeah. And according to the Rambam. Ramban held he had it, yeah.
Did Rambam like know about the Kabbalists?
So if you read the book by Menachem Kellner, Maimonides' Confrontation with Mysticism, he says that Rambam knew about, you know, so the writings that were floating around before the Zohar was the Heichalot literature, which, by the way, now, like, if, you know, I know that a friend of mine is very fluent in Heichalot literature, and you can ask him about stuff if you need. This is the friend who came over last Shabbos. So like one of the examples is that the, I made the dumbest prequel meme about this, but there's a book called Shir Koma. Okay.
Oh, that's a crazy book.
Yeah. So it's about the dimensions of God's body. Okay. So in the early, you know, I told you that there's like different editions of the Pirush Mishnayos. So the Rambam held that the in his first edition of Pirush Mishnayos, the Rambam held that it was like a I think he held that like it was a text that was like an allegorical text with like real ideas. And then in later editions, he said it's a Byzantine forgery. So let me see my dumb prequel meme here. Hold on.
Is it
your
text? No, that's not. That's
such a dumb. Okay, so 19 years in Tatooine. Have you seen this meme?
Yeah.
Okay, right. So like, you know, different people. 19 years after writing the Pirush Mishnayos, Shir Kum was a legit allegorical text. And I can't remember if it was actually 19 years, but it was that's a niche meme. If only I get this one. Okay, yeah. Anyway, so what was that? Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. So now he says, V'im hesir Hashem ha-mesech me'al lev mi-shiratzui lefanav achre shehichshir atzmo b'lumudim yavi mehem lefi kofzechol. So if God will remove the covering or the screen from a person's heart who is favorable before him, after he's prepared himself with the proper like studies, then he will understand according to the capacity of his intellect. In other words, God will, you know, like there's a certain level of preparation, and then if God wills it, then he'll allow you to understand these things. Okay, the in la'adam lasos im halimud ha-hishtadlus, ha-hishtadlus basic Torah, ella l'chavin es, oh, this is a good line. Yeah, I think, yeah, go ahead. The person can only act in his learning and his striving in involvement in Torah. The only thing he can do is l'chavin es libo, l'shem, is to direct his heart to God, v'yispala l'fanav, and be mispala before him, v'yishanin, and supplicate, shi'yichanehu da'as, that God grant him knowledge, v'yazrehu v'yagalelo hasodos, ha'kumusim b'kisvi HaKodesh, and ask that God reveal to him the sodos that are hidden in the kisvi HaKodesh, k'moshe matanu David alav shalom, asakein, like David did, v'hu, Amru gal inai v'abitin yathlos mitorah sacha. He said, uncover my eyes and let me see wonders in your Torah. Like that's all you can do is you can prepare and like ask God for help in like letting you see the wonders in these things. That's all you can do. You know, there's no shortcut. Ukashi gal Hashem la'adam mehem mashi gal yastirin k'moshi Amru shemarta. And once God reveals these things to you, you should hide them. Okay, as we said, v'im yirmos b'mashu mehem hari rak l'mi sheshalmu sheshalma da'ato v'noda yashro k'moshe b'yiru v'uviru b'maisios rabos b'tamon. And if you do hint at them, you should only do it to someone whose das is complete and who you know their uprightness, as we've explained in many maisios in the Talmud. So that's like what the Rambam did in Mordechai, but we all have Mordechai now, so... Is he really sticking with his own policy? That's a good question. L'chein ein roi la'adam hashalim l'farsim mash yeda mehasodos ela l'mishu. Yeah?
To be fair, in the introduction to the Mora, he talks about who should be reading and who shouldn't be reading. This is what you should have done.
Right. But it is true. But just like the Ramban, like, can the Ramban really think that no one's going to try to interpret what he's going to say? You know? I mean, then he can say, it's on you guys. It's on you, you know? Yeah. Okay. But... well, that's a distinct difference, by the way. The Rambam says he's writing in a way where if you don't understand it, you won't be harmed. And the Ramban says if you try to understand it and you're not in Kubu, you will be harmed. So, yeah. All right. Therefore, it's not fit for a perfected person to publicize what he knows of these sodos, except to someone who's greater than him or equal to him. Because if he presents them in front of a ksil, if he doesn't degrade him in his face, it's not going to be good in the fool's eyes. He says, Shlomo says, don't speak in the ears of a fool because he will mock the intelligence of your words. This is weird. Teaching the masses is only possible by way of allegory and metaphor so that you can include the women and the children, haktanim, the small children. So that when they grow up, when their minds mature, they'll know the idea of those mashalim. That's why the chachamim spoke in remez. So it does seem like he's saying we want them to know the mushal, the mashalim, so that they'll have them when they grow up. But even so, in other words, it's funny. See, it doesn't seem contrary.
Yeah.
First, he said you should only like hint at them to someone who can know them. But then he
said the mashalim or hint the mashalim.
The mashalim, I think. Ray saying Lafar. He says. He said. V'im yirmos b'mashu mehem hari rak lemi sheshalma da'ato of noda yasho. That's the mashal when you allude to them. I think.
I assume that was the nimshal, actually.
You think it's the nimshal? V'im yirmos b'mashu mehem. Okay, that would make sense. That would make sense. That would be consistent at least.
Even,
so, but he's saying you should tell the mashal even to the nashim
of time. But I don't think is it even or just?
Well, he's saying this is fine because he says when you teach in public, it is not possible. It is only possible by way of allegory and metaphor, so that you can include the women and the young children, so that when their minds mature, they will understand those inyanim.
It sounds like before that even the men, the vast majority of men, would have.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I'm not focusing on the women and children part.
I'm just why it says that.
Where that kind of comes out. No. Why can't men and women?
It seems like he was talking up until now about everybody.
Yeah.
Like even including like people who are even learned per se.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then
so why is he now focusing just on this?
So that
everyone would know.
Men grow up.
Right. Whatever. Well, I mean, he does say that in his Raya. He says, "Va'inyan zeh rama shlomo b'amro lahavin mashal umelita divrei chachamim b'chidosan." In Mishlei, it says that the purpose of Mishlei is to train you in understanding mashal and melita, the words of chachamim and their things. And that Mishlei is for everyone. That's why the chachamim spoke in remez, and that's being read by that man also. Yeah.
I'm going to apply it on that.
Yeah, correct. Right. So everyone has potential to reach the Dash Lamas. So, does, and look, the Midrashim are written for everybody. They're written in an accessible manner for everybody. So it does seem like he holds that they are there for everyone. And then as you mature, then you'll have a chance of getting it. Or we're going to read up to where I want to start today. Maybe. Oh, no. That's on the next page. Forget it. We'll read to the end of the paragraph. V'lchein. Roi la adam shein nizdam in lo midvarehem davar shu neged muskal lefidato. So if a person encounters one of these statements that's against rationality, according to his mind, shelo yiyaches achesron leosam advarim ela yiyaches achesron lesichlo. He should not ascribe the deficiency to the statement. He should ascribe it to his own intellect. Ukshiyira mashal mi mashalehem shepshuto rachuk meod mi binaso. And when he sees a shot of their mashalim that is extremely improbable according to his understanding, roi lo lehitz tire meod alkah shalohim inhanim. He should feel the pain that he doesn't understand it. Ad shenasu etzlo kol hadvarim haimitim betachlis harichuk. Did I skip something? Roilo litzar ma'od al kach shalohevim inyan ad shenasu etzlo kol advarim hamitim. Oh yeah, in other words, he should be in pain on the fact that there are so many true statements that are too far away for him to grasp. Lefisha sichle bnei adam nivdalim kehevdele hamezgim. The intelligences of people are as distinct as their physical dispositions. Kumosha mezeg adam zeh tov v'karv l'memutza yoser mi mezeg adam acher. Just like this person's physical disposition is closer to the middle ground, to the medium than another person's, and that's better. Kahi yisechel adam zeh nachon b'shalom yisechel adam acher. Some people have better natural intellects than others. Without a doubt, the person who knows an advanced idea is better than the intellect of a person who doesn't know it. Because this guy has actualized his intellect, and this guy's intellect is in potential. Therefore, there are things that are clear and firm to certain people, but others consider them impossible, according to their level in Chachma. All right, so just to show where we're going, he says a little bit more, and then he gives the statement of Chazal as the example, which is, in l'kadosh baruch hu ba'olam ela dalet amos halachos bilvad, that the only thing God has in his world is the four amos of halacha. And he says, that sounds crazy. And then he gives this interpretation where it's like the whole philosophy of the purpose of man. Yeah.
Before that doesn't seem so simple, that if something doesn't seem rational to you, then you should assume that it seems like you have to have an idea that's also like a true idea.
Correct. Yeah.
At the same time as not understanding.
Yeah. He does not mean all statements. He means like, Yeah, definitely. I mean, he means statements of people who have a reputation for Chachma, and therefore, like, you have reason to assume that they knew what they were talking about.
Right. So, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Not understand the idea, but like understand something that there should be an idea.
Exactly. Like, it's holding the space for an idea. Yeah. 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 Okay. Very good. All right. Just one thing.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi Schneeweis. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweis, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweis@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening, thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.